throughout Lent, people giving up things, Ivan wanted to take up a little bit of spirituality. We are very busy people, and we've spoken each Tuesday at this time to different people who have dedicated their life to their faith and beliefs, whatever that may be. And therefore, it's a great pleasure to welcome our dear friend and someone who is ubiquitous in the media, Father Brian D'Arcy. He's from County Down. He has been involved in places like Mount Argus in Dublin and in monasteries and so on. And a lot of people who speak to Father Brian ask him, and what do you make of married priests? And what do you make about the bishop and the Vatican? I don't want to talk to him about that at all. I want to talk to him in a non-controversial way about his inner faith, his deep beliefs. Father Brian, welcome to the programme.
Well, thank you very much, Ivan, and thank you for that very lovely introduction, which I appreciate deeply. Thank you very much.
So, I don't want to talk about Mary McAleese. I don't want to talk about all the things you talk about every day. I want to talk about what religion, God, means to you. Why do you persist with it as the inner core of your life? What does it do for you?
Well, religion and God sometimes are opposites with me. Sometimes I know they are intimately intertwined, and one should be the expression of the living life of the other. It doesn't always happen that is so, nor has it in the past and in the future, because religion is more a human invention or intervention too. And so therefore, wherever humans are, there will be failings and sin. So sometimes what I've really worked at hard in the last number of years is to find an inner faith that is undisturbed by what happens in churches and religions and in society itself. In other words, to find something to root me in my own humanity. And for many years, I was one of those people who, particularly in the Catholic religion, who were really taught that nearly everything that you liked was sinful, and that therefore you had to go through life almost in a kind of sad way, hoping that the rewards would come in the next life rather than this. And I really had to learn, probably in middle age, that was a very dysfunctional spirituality, which could be harmful to people. It also, because of my own background and what happened to me as a young guy, I lapped up that kind of religion because I felt bad about myself. I thought it was bad. I thought it was sinful. I thought it was wrong. I thought I had to prove myself. I thought I had to somehow or another pull myself up to heaven by my own bootstrings.
So what I want you to focus on is not the dysfunctional part, but the functional part of your belief and what it gives you.
And yes, and but that's how I got to that point, Ivan. And you know, I had to discard it. And when you unlearn something, it's very valuable to you if you can unlearn it in a proper way and unlearn it with something else. I suppose in midlife and early 40s, when I finished Mount Argus, I had kind of a crisis. Both my parents were dead. I'd had, you know, emotional disturbances in my own life and emotional fulfillment in my own life. And I had to leave Mount Argus and go up north, etc. All of which was extraordinarily difficult because it was uprooting what was safe and familiar to me. And so I went to America to study theology and do a refresher course. And during that time, I had, for the first time probably, time to think and put all the things I had practiced as a priest into the context of a spirituality. And I learned about Richard Rohr, I learned about Henry Nouwen, I learned particularly about Thomas Merton, and how contemplation within yourself was based on the fact that unless I can see myself as good, I will never be able to see myself with a proper relationship with God. Because God doesn't make secondhand goods. And God makes each of us good, different and unique. And I had to try to find out what my uniqueness was and offer it back to God. What God's gift to me is the gifts I have. My spiritual life is what I do with those gifts and how I hand them back to God. And so I was determined then to have a relationship a personal relationship with God rather than to carry out just spiritual exercises that were almost like a spiritual gym. I had to get rid of that idea. It's God is the center of the spiritual life, not me. It's God is the center of the sacramental life, not me. It's God is the center of the priestly life, not me. And when I was able to step back and allow myself to be used, whatever way God wanted me to be used, I discovered what Pope John the 23rd discovered when he became Pope. He was Pope for a long time and he couldn't sleep at night. And he worried about what he was going to do with the church. And one night, something appeared to him in his insomnia and said to him, John, look it, I'm in charge. You just get on with your work. And that was God telling him what to do. And then he became extraordinarily brave. And because of that enthusiasm, he was able to call a Second Vatican Council, which changed the face of religion, the world and society.
OK, let's give me some expression to that. Is God Jesus to you?
Yes, yes. The way I see Jesus is what the gospel tells us is he is the Word made flesh. God speaks to us in a human way, and that is God Jesus. God guides us and consoles us, and that's God the Holy Spirit. It's the same God. It's the facets of God in our life. It's the many facets of God in our life. It's the three persons from one God idea. But don't get hung up on that because that's a mathematical thing.
Okay.
What it is God loving us, saving us, guiding us throughout life.
And therefore, for a lot of us, we are afraid of dying. And we're afraid that when we die, that is the end, like it would be for an animal. Mm. What would you say? Speak to that.
Well, I suppose one of the most lovely things that happens to me in priesthood, I've probably sat beside several thousand people at their last moment. Our last time, it might not just be not exactly at their last moment, although there have been hundreds of those too. It's the most privileged and beautiful thing in your life. And it frightened the daylights out of me in the beginning. I was so afraid of seeing people dying. I was afraid of seeing my own mother die before I was a priest at all. It scared me. But then somehow or another, I learned that I had this ability or gift or whatever it was to speak words of comfort to people, to say, you know, that God is loving you. It's nothing to be frightened of. Just close your eyes and God will do the rest. Keep it gentle. Just put your trust in God. Do what Jesus said. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Just be quiet. Breathe easily. You don't have any worries. Your life has been good. And even if it wasn't good, God has forgiven it long ago, now that you want it. You're the only one who remembers the mistakes in your life. And quietly just put open your hands and reach out your hands and God will take you into his life of goodness, his life of happiness, his life of joy, his life of, it's not just reward because that's a funny word to use. It's just God's life that you were in before you were born and now you're returning to it complete.
And what does that mean the next day?
What to whom?
To the deceased.
To the deceased, that means this invariably you can actually see the panic, the fear just coming out of their life. And suddenly there's a peacefulness and genuinely family will always say, you know, there's a peacefulness comes into the room at that stage. And generally speaking, I'd say maybe 19 times out of 100, the people who have witnessed their loved one die suddenly lose the fear of death themselves because of the beauty of it.
Well, look, I tell you what, Father Brian, we're out of time, but I really... when we get nearer to Holy Week, maybe we might, if you're down in Dublin or whatever, and the ISTN line's very good, we might probe this a bit deeper because I find your communication skill is fascinating. A lot of people are yearning for this kind of stuff, but they kind of are doubtful at the same time in a constructive way. So,
yes, of course.
Let's talk again. And I want to thank you for joining us on it. because I think of all the speakers we've had, I certainly found you the most inspirational. Father Brian D'Arcy, my apologies that we don't have more time, but thank you for those words and, can I say, comforting words which we've just heard. And we will have more at this time next week while Lent continues. Now, congratulations to Joseph Clifford. You're today's winner going into the draw. You knew the capital city of New York State was Albany, and you are in line to win the amazing trip to Dubai for the Dubai World Cup, all thanks to Emirates Airline and all the wonderful services, twice daily Dublin to Dubai and all that good stuff. Up next, we'll have Off the Ball in Sport.